Well, hey guys, and welcome to one of our joint youth services that we do a couple of times a year. If we have not met before, my name is Sterling Wilson. I'm on staff with the Senior High Ministry, and I am just so blessed to be with all of you guys today. I've been away for a little while, and I was telling my beautiful wife, Londie, over here just how much I missed you guys. Yeah, we can always clap for her. When we were on our honeymoon, it actually got extended. You know, we got snowed in to Puerto Rico because of the snow here. Oh no, you know? And so we were stuck there for a few extra days, and I was just telling her, like, man, I miss my students. I'm so ready to be back. And so clearly, it's true. It's true. You can ask her. Devlin's looking back like he doesn't believe me. But no, I really did miss you guys while I was gone. And it is truly a blessing to be able to serve you guys in the capacity as one of your youth associates. So I'm glad to be here this morning. Well, like I said, my name is Sterling. I work with the Senior High Ministry. And we've been gone a while. Senior High with Sabbath Sundays and the snow. Junior high, you guys only had one Sunday off with the snow. But who can tell me what we've been talking about the past couple of weeks? What have we been talking about? Yes, ma'am. Suffering. Yes. What about suffering? What have we been talking about regarding suffering? Yes, sir. Being afflicted. Give me a little bit more. Being afflicted. Being afflicted can cause suffering, but that can also cause a good thing to come out of it. Yes, sir. Why God allows suffering, and what do you remember from that? Amen. He allows suffering for our good and our shaping into his image. Anyone over here? Okay, no worries. one more. Sam, yes, sir. Why we have suffering in our... Thank you so much. Yeah, my birthday was last Sunday. That's actually where I got this super cool hat, was from Marissa and Corinne. Yeah, they're awesome. But we have been talking about suffering. We talked about the problem with suffering and evil in the world. We answered the question, how could a good God allow suffering in the world? Then we also talked about how in the Bible, suffering isn't just talked about, but it's promised. We know that as followers of Christ, we are called to suffer. We are going to suffer. But when we do suffer, we still have hope in a God that we know that we can trust. And that ties into the last sermon in this series of suffering, which is how we respond to suffering, the response to suffering. You know, we're gonna talk about how we can deal with suffering in a biblical way. How do we bring God into our suffering? And how does suffering affect our faith? And our main point for today is that lament is the biblical response to Christian suffering. Lament is the biblical response to Christian suffering. And with that, we're gonna have a few application points. Which, number one, is that it's okay not to be okay. Number two, it's okay to express and to give your negative emotions to God. And number three is that it's okay to trust God before things get better. All right, so we're going to talk about all these things today, but first let me pray, and then we're going to hop into the message, so... Father God, we thank you so much that you are a God that we can trust, Lord. You're a God that identifies with us in our suffering. You're a God who cares for us in our affliction, Lord. Father, we thank you that you give us a way to let out our anger, our disappointments, our frustration, our pain, our sorrow, and give that up to you. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this sermon, that you would open up the hearts of your people to receive, not from me, but from you. In fact, God, I pray that you would humble me right now, that, Lord, the only thing I'd be worried about is your word being spoken to your people. So Lord, we love you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise for who you are. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. And Craig, if you could just step a little bit to the left from the monitor, thank you so much. And Moises, if you could knock it right out of the way. All right. So I think that it is the most normal response for us as human beings, as Christian, as whatever, to instantly comfort someone that we see crying or grieving or mourning or whatever. You know, it's very normal for us. You know, when we see someone crying, the typical dialogue, it typically goes like this. You know, they come over in a high-pitched voice, and they're like, "Hey, buddy, what's wrong? What's wrong?" You know, and then it's always like, "No, it's okay. It's okay. There's no need to cry. It's okay." And then on the other end, the person who's crying is typically trying to wipe their tears away before anybody sees them. They want to find a private place to cry where no one sees them, as though weeping in sorrow makes them lesser or makes them weaker. In Christian circles, sometimes what you see when you're going through a tough time is that some people just quote scripture at you instead of taking the time to actually sit and mourn with you, to sit and weep with you. You know, that's something that's actually always been really tough for me with my parents is that, especially my mom, you know, I bring a very real issue or sorrow or pain, and the response is always, "It is well." And, you know, I'm just like, okay, it's really not right now, though. Or, you know, "It is well," or, you know, "It always works out according to God's plan." And I'm like, yes, that is true. Don't get me wrong, that's true. But sometimes we need to just sit and feel our sorrow, right? Sometimes we need to be able to just express what we're going through. Sometimes we just need to be comforted in our pain. We just need to let it out. We need to cry. We need to sit with someone and share hard things. And you know, if you're on the other end of that, sometimes you just need to listen and sit with your brother or your sister, your Christian brother or sister, and just listen to them and hold them. Lay your hand on their shoulder, support them, cry with them. I don't know why it sometimes seems like Christians of all people can be a bit uncomfortable when it comes to sorrow and pain, or why sometimes we as Christians can be ashamed of our tears. You know, when we ask someone, you know, the typical greeting, you go up to someone, "Oh, hey, how are you? Good, how are you?" But when they don't say, you know, "Good, how are you?" and they actually open up about their pain or whatever they're going through, we're shocked. You know, it's like we ask this question with no intention of actually checking on their well-being. It's just what we say. "How are you?" has become nothing more than just a greeting nowadays instead of a genuine question. But if we went around this room, if you personally went around this room and we talked to every single person and genuinely asked them, how were they doing? I guarantee you that you'd hear some heavy stuff. And we as a church need to learn to embrace the tears of our brothers and our sisters. Because as we've learned over the past couple of weeks, suffering is not only a real issue in this world, but suffering is actually promised. We are going to experience suffering on this earth. I don't care who you are or what you're going through right now. And if you haven't really suffered up until this point, praise God for that. You know, I don't wish suffering on you. But I'm telling you that at some point in your life, you're going to experience a hardship that you cannot handle. That you feel like you cannot handle. You're going to be brought to your knees at some point in your life with pain. You're going to feel this all-consuming pressure that feels like it won't go away. At some point in your life, you are going to suffer. And I just want to tell you that that's okay. It is okay to suffer. It's okay to go through pain. And when you're suffering, I want to tell you that you don't have to hide it. You don't have to put on a brave face or pretend for anyone. It's okay to go through something hard. And that's our first point for today, which is that it's okay to not be okay. It is okay to not be okay. It's okay to be in pain. It's okay to be angry. And it is okay to weep. And you know what? If someone is, if you are someone who's in a place right now that you're openly weeping, you're in good company. Because weeping in the Bible isn't seen as something that makes you weak. But weeping is an honored place in our faith. Job wept. Job went through some really, really tough and difficult things. Jeremiah wept. David wept. Jesus wept. And none of these men were weak by any standards. In fact, these were men who were extremely strong that endured a lot more pain than any of us could ever imagine. A lot more pain than any of us could ever take. And yet, their tears were internalized in the Holy Scriptures for all of us to see. Their tears were identified in Scripture so that we could identify with them in their pain, so that we could identify that with them when we were going through pain. And the Bible has so many examples, right, of when you're suffering, right? Job, on one end, he's suffering, and he's righteous, right? He's doing all the right things before the Lord, and yet he's still suffering. So if you're suffering right now and you feel like you're in a place where you're right with God, go read Job, you know, versus Lamentations. The author of Lamentations is suffering, but it's based off of the sins of their nation. And so we see both ends. Sometimes we suffer because this is a world, a fallen world, where we experience suffering. And then sometimes we suffer because of our own actions and our own sin. But regardless of that, it is okay to suffer. It's okay to be with pain. Because before we can properly respond to our suffering, we have to acknowledge that we are actually suffering and that it's okay to do so. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to be strong, but acknowledge your pain and understand that your suffering does not make you weak. But it is okay to not be okay. And before we move on with this, I know that, you know, this is not a feel-good sermon we're talking about today, but the end result definitely is. But before we move on today, let's do a couple of quick discussion questions. One, have you ever felt like your emotions were easily dismissed by someone who just wanted you to cheer up? And two, do you ever find it difficult to acknowledge that you're going through a tough time and why? Let's take a few minutes to discuss those, and then we'll come back. Just turn to your neighbors and talk. All right, guys, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. All right, let's look at that second question. Do you guys ever find it difficult to acknowledge that you're going through a tough time? Just yes or no? Yeah? Yeah, I can too, yeah? Does anyone want to share why they think that's difficult for them sometimes? You don't have to. And that's okay. I think that it can be difficult for me sometimes because, I don't know, I feel like I should be stronger than this, right? Or sometimes I can feel like compared to the problems or the difficulties that other people are having that I shouldn't, mine isn't comparable. Yeah. Yeah. If you guys didn't hear, she said that sometimes she feels like she should be able to handle it, and then she ends up stuffing it down, but then at some point it's eventually going to burst out. Yes, ma'am.
It feels like accepting defeat.
When you admit you're suffering, it feels like accepting defeat. Yes. That is so deep. Did you guys hear that over here? That's good. She said when we live in a first world country, and so having these first world problems compared to all the things and sufferings going on in the rest of the world kind of feel inconsequential. That's good. That's very true. But yeah, I think that most of us have had these experiences where we struggle to admit what we're going through, not just to others, but to ourselves. But I want to let you guys know that the God that we serve, Yahweh, the God of the Bible, he wants to hear our pain and our sorrow. He wants to hear us lament. Now, if you remember, our main point for today is that lament is the biblical response to Christian suffering. Lament is the biblical response to Christian suffering. But before we go any further, who can tell me what is lament? What does it mean to lament? No one. That's okay. Yes, thank you for always answering it. To cry out to God? I'm trying to give you a variety. Judy, you had your hand up? To be sad about something. It's a little bit more than just being sad. Yeah.
To accept that you feel pain and that it's not
okay. To accept that you feel pain and it's not okay. There's no one. Thank you, Gabe. Yes, sir. Praying? To who? Okay. Ava? Oh, yes, ma'am, Malia. To be in mourning or grief. Now, all of these are great responses. I'm going to take it just one step further. But lament isn't only acknowledging that you're sad or feeling those emotions, but is actually expressing them, right? Expressing deep regret, grief, or sorrow. To lament is to let those things out, to express it. We can do this through words or we can do this through action. You know, who knows what Job did after, basically after all the terrible things happened to him. What did he do? Yes. He tore his clothes. He tore his clothes. He shaved his head, right? In lament. That was his action of lament. So we can lament through words. We can lament through actions. And you know what? Lament is actually an extremely common theme through the entirety of Scripture. So much so that there's a whole book written about it called
Lamentations.
Not only that, but there is a large portion of the Psalms that are psalms of lament. How many psalms are there? 150. Yes, thank you for the one person and everyone else mumbling after. All right. Now, who can tell me out of the 150 psalms, how many are psalms of lament? 200 out of the 150? 30? It's more than 30. Not 67, but that's actually close. What? Nope, it's lower. 60? Okay. It's 65. 65. All right. All right, guys. 65 out of the 150 psalms are psalms that are dedicated to expressing grief, sorrow, and regret. That's nearly half of the Psalms are dedicated to expressing your deep, deep sorrow. Now, these Psalms of Lament, they cover a range of emotions from sadness to anger to grief to uncertainty and to mourning and so on. But one of the things that these Psalms teach us and what they model for us is our next application point, which is that it's okay to express your negative emotions to God. It's okay to express your negative emotions to God. Let's look at Psalm 109, verses 1 through 15. And let me just preface this by saying that this is an intense psalm. It says, "Be not silent, O God of my praise, for wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer. So they reward me evil for good and hatred for my love. Appoint a wicked man against him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him come forth guilty. Let his prayer be counted as sin. May his days be few. May another take his office. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children wander about and beg, seeking food far from the ruins they inhabit. May the creditor seize all that he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his toil. Let there be none to extend kindness to him, nor any pity to his fatherless children. May his posterity be cut off. May his name be blotted out in the second generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Wow. I mean, King David obviously wrote this when he was going through it. I mean, how angry do you have to be to say to God, may his children wander about and beg? How angry do you have to be with somebody to say to God, may his children be fatherless and his wife a widow? Right? He was angry. He was in deep, deep sorrow and pain. These are harsh and intense words. And at this moment, it seems like David is questioning God. And you know what? What he's doing right here, that he has two questions as he writes this psalm, which are the same two questions that every biblical lament has, the same two questions that all of us have when we're going through struggle, which is, where are you, God, and why, God? Where are you, God, and why, God? God, if you are good, why are you allowing this difficulty in my life? God, where are you in the midst of my parent who has cancer? Where are you in the midst of my best friend who I just lost? Where are you, God? David says in verse 1, be not silent, O God of praise. He's wondering where is God's presence in the midst of his suffering. He's wondering why God in his great and mighty sovereignty is letting him go through this. David is hurt, David is confused, and David is angry. He's grieving, he's mourning, he is suffering. He has these extreme and harsh words to say, and he needs to get them out. But how does he do that? Right? How does David express his bitter emotions? I'll tell you what, he's not doing it through an Instagram post. He's not doing it through gossiping to his best friend. And he's not doing it through plotting revenge on the person who wronged him. Right? He's not lying, well, maybe he is, but I'm assuming he's not lying awake at night just thinking like, ooh, when Saul sees me or when I see him, I'm going to get him. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I know you guys have been there, especially guys plotting about that one guy that's made you mad. Yeah, I see John nodding his head. but I know that some of us have been here, right? When somebody is making us so angry that they're all that's on our mind and we're plotting against them. But how does David express his anger and his hatred here? He does it by speaking to God. He tells God exactly what he is feeling right here. And he tells him without holding anything back. He expressed his anger and his hatred and his desperation. And God welcomes us to give him those same emotions. Because you know what happens when we don't give those emotions to God? You know what happens when we let those things just bottle up and they sit in us and we don't let them out in the proper way? They show up in horrible and negative ways in our lives. And most of the time, if not all of the time, they will show up in sinful ways in our lives. Guys, we have to learn not to conform to the patterns of this world. Because what the world does, with their lament and their suffering and sorrow and desperation is they turn it into complaint. But as followers of Christ, we have to learn to turn it into prayer. We have to learn to give Christ our sorrow. This is the appropriate response as followers of Christ to our suffering. So it's okay to have these negative emotions. It's okay to feel them. It's okay to wonder where God is during your pain. But you have to give it back to Him. We have to learn to turn our sorrow into prayer. Because when we're hurt, it's easy to stop talking to God, isn't it? Right? When we're hurt, it can be easy to stop talking to God. Sometimes we don't even realize how angry we are because we keep on stuffing our emotions down. But when we do that, we slowly begin to drift apart from Him, often without even realizing it. We slowly begin to become resentful. We slowly begin to become bitter. And we slowly begin to shut God out. I moved here to Virginia in December of 2021. And in April of 2022, my life got really difficult. I hated my job. The job I had before this, but I was just starting there and things were probably the worst that they were the whole time I was there. I was going through a difficult breakup due to racism in the family, which, you know, glad I went through that. Come on now. But I was going through a difficult breakup due to racism in the family. And I was in this new area, just moved to Virginia, had no friends, had no family here. I was feeling completely and utterly alone. And I remember calling my dad one day, and I was just bawling. I was weeping. And I asked him to pray for me. And he said, yes, of course, I'll pray for you, but not until you pray for yourself. And I'm just like, Dad, come on, are you serious right now? Like, I can barely talk right now. I'm physically shaking in pain, in sorrow, and in tears. And I'm begging him, Dad, can you please just pray for me? But he refused to pray for me until I prayed for myself. And so in that moment, you know, I really, really struggled to mutter out a prayer that was just a couple of sentences to God. And as I prayed to him, my emotions just began to well up more and more, and I began to cry harder, and I could barely speak, but I was getting my prayer out to him. And I probably said a prayer that was about 45 words, but it felt like it took me 5 minutes to get everything out. And as I prayed, I felt this shift in my heart. And as I prayed, I realized that I was angry with God and felt like He was absent in the midst of all of my suffering. And I'm so grateful that my dad forced me to pray right there, because I truly believe that if I hadn't opened up my mouth right there to God, that I would have begun to harden my heart against Him. But as I dialogued with Him, I realized that the only way to heal my relationship with the Lord, and I realized that the only way to get out of the sorrow that I was in, was to talk to Him. Guys, when we pray a prayer of lament, that's what we're doing, is we're keeping that dialogue with God open. We're keeping that dialogue and that talking with Him going. Even if at the moment, all I can say is, God, why am I going through this? Even if at the moment, all I can say is, God, where are you? Or, God, I just can't take it anymore. We're keeping that dialogue with our Heavenly Father open. We're expressing our pain to Him, but we're talking to Him. We may be going through it, but we're talking to Him. Because it's impossible to maintain a meaningful relationship without that constant communication. Whether it's I'm not even talking about God right now, but just think about a friendship. If you're hurt by a friend, by maybe an action that they took or inaction they took or whatever, is that relationship going to heal if you just choose to ignore them? No. No, it's not. It's not going to heal. Even if the communication is just telling the person, I'm upset right now, and I don't know exactly what to say to you. You're keeping that line of communication open. And it's essential that we keep that dialogue open with God, especially when we don't want to, because lament is the bridge that takes us from sorrow to worship. Lament moves our hearts, our minds, from a place of sorrow and suffering back into a place of worship. Right? And now that we've established that it's okay to not be okay, and that we've established that God wants us to give him our negative emotions, well, what do we do then? You know, do we just end by saying, God, where are you? What's happening? Amen. No, we don't end it there. But lament bridges the gap between sorrow and worship. We express our deep hurt to God, and as we do that, we are slowly able to move back into a place of trust and understanding with him. We remind ourselves that even though we're not okay and things are really difficult for us right now, we remind ourselves that God is still with us. He's still there. The psalm that we read earlier, Psalm 109, it doesn't end with David wishing that his enemy's children would be fatherless and no one would take pity on them. It doesn't end there, but it ends with him worshiping the Lord, praising God for who he is. And a more succinct example of this is Psalm chapter 13. Psalm 13 says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep to the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Once again, King David is writing here. And he's writing from a place of desperation. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? He's desperate and he's fearful. And again, he's asking those same two questions, which are, where is God and how is he allowing this in his sovereignty and his goodness? But look at the contrast of how this psalm starts and how it ends. Right? It starts with, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? But then how does it end? It ends by, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. How does he go from there? How does he go from the pain of saying, God, it feels like you've forgotten me, to saying, but God, you have dealt bountifully with me. He goes from mourning to worship, even though he doesn't understand why he's going through this pain. And in fact, this is the general structure of all of the Psalms of Lament, with, I think, just one exception. This is the general structure. It starts with them addressing God, then the psalmist will express his sorrow, he'll ask for help, and he will end by expressing trust. Again, he addresses God, he expresses his grief, his negative emotions, he laments, he asks for help, and then he expresses trust. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to happen as quickly as it happens in the 6-verse psalm. In fact, lament can take a very long time. Lament can sometimes take days or weeks or months. But it's all about keeping that dialogue open with God. You have to continue to talk to him throughout your pain. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when it's painful, even when it hurts, we as believers have an understanding and a trust in a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. We as believers have trust in a God who has proven his faithfulness time and time again. We as believers have trust in a God who was there at the beginning of time and who has infinite wisdom and knowledge. We serve a God who redeems the evil things of this world and uses them for his good and for his glory. We serve a God who we can trust when everything in front of us, when the things that we see with our eyes are telling us that we have no reason to trust. And that's why our last point for today is that it's okay to trust God before it gets better. It's okay to trust God before it gets better. Because we serve an awesome God who steps into the storm with us. We serve a God who, according to Psalm 23, prepares a table for us where? In the presence of our enemies. We serve a God who's with us in the valley of the shadow of death. God is there. Guys, we live in a world that is going to drag us through the coals sometimes. We live in a world that is going to make us live through some unbelievably hard times. But God stands with us. God comforts us. He cares for us. You know, I wasn't supposed to preach this sermon, but Noah got sick, and so he's not able to preach right now. And you know, when we decided that I was doing this sermon, I was like, I don't have anything to lament. I just got married. It was just my birthday. Like, I just got this cool hat. Like, everything in my life is going great, you know? And meanwhile, I mean, Noah, he just walked out of the room, but Noah just got some serious material to lament. Like, you guys heard about his house fire, him getting sick, like, all these things happening to him, and he had some serious stuff to lament. And so I was just like, man, it really makes sense that Noah preaches this sermon. But again, he got sick. But it's crazy because God was like, well, let me give you some sermon material. like I said, my beautiful wife and I, we just got married. And Londi's from South Africa, so she's not from here. And so we've been working with a lawyer to try to get her green card paperwork and everything sorted out. And the deadline is quickly approaching. And, man, this guy was not the best lawyer. And so we were actually supposed to file a while ago, but he kept on making mistakes, and he kept on making mistakes, and he kept on making mistakes. And so we ended up having to wait until after our honeymoon to be able to file. Now, we get back from our honeymoon, and we're like, okay, we need you to file right now. The deadline is coming up. And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And then a week later, and we're not getting anything. And, you know, I'm stressed. I'm anxious. And more than anything, I'm angry. Because we paid this guy a large sum of money to be professional and to take care of our business before her deadline. And, you know, if we didn't have the paperwork in time, there's a risk of Londi being sent back to South Africa. And so I'm stressed and I'm angry. And if I'm being honest with you guys, I was feeling hatred for this man in my heart. I called him probably 50 times over the course of 2 days, sent him emails begging him to submit the paperwork. And he finally has. It's okay. She's not going anywhere. But Londi said she had never seen me so angry. I don't know if I'd ever seen myself that angry. But God gave me something to lament. And so when I woke up at 2 a.m. and I was stressed and I couldn't sleep after I sent him an email at 3 a.m., I spent some time in prayer, lamenting, and just saying, you know, God, I am feeling hatred towards this man right now. God, I am really angry and stressed and anxious. but ending by saying, but God, I've seen you work it out all before. God, I've seen you move mountains in my life. God, I see how you're working in this situation, using it to shape me, using it to shape Blondie. God wants us to give him those negative emotions. Now, I'm not saying that I should have felt hatred, but I did. But the important thing is that when I did, I took it and I gave it to God. And I'm not saying I handled the situation the best. I probably didn't. But I still took that and I gave it to God. And you know what? I knew that I could trust him because he's given me every reason to trust him in all forms of circumstances. All of us who are followers of Christ today, he's given us one huge reason to trust him, which is that he had mercy on us. Honestly, if you're not a follower of Christ, he still had mercy on you. Guys, God has given us the biggest reason to trust him, and that is when Jesus laid down his life for us. If you haven't heard it before, we were made to be in perfect relationship with God, the creator of the universe. We were made to live life with him, walk alongside him through life, and be in perfect relationship with him. But due to our own rebellious and sinful nature, that drove a wedge between us and God. This sin, which is anything that goes against God's will, is also why we see so much suffering in the world today. Because sin is something that we all have. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our sin is why we see so much hatred, destruction, and evil and suffering in the world. And the bad news is that there's nothing that we can do on our own to get rid of it. There's nothing we can do to free ourselves from the shackles and this lifestyle of sin. But God, in his loving kindness and his mercy, he didn't want us to live out our lives in sin. And so he sent his son, Jesus, who was God in human flesh, to live a sinless life. And he laid down his life on the cross, becoming sin, taking on the punishment for the sins of the world. He then resurrected 3 days later, which proved that he was the Son of God and able to pay the price for the sins of the world. And he says in his word that every person who trusts and believes in him and in his resurrection will have eternal life. And that starts right here on this earth with him. What greater reason could you have to trust someone than the fact that they laid down their life for you individually? He laid down his life. Jesus died the death that we deserved on the cross because he loves you. Since then, he has continued to give you reasons to trust him. And I know that no matter how difficult your life is today, that God has given you and is giving you a reason to trust him. So even though your circumstances may seem impossible right now, know that God, the God of the Bible, he cares for you in the worst of circumstances. Guys, God wants you to lament your parents' divorce. God wants you to lament your family member with cancer. God wants you to lament the loss of your friend. He wants you to lament not getting into the college you wanted to get into. He wants you to lament the pain of a breakup. He wants you to lament your bad relationship with your siblings. Regardless of the scale of the pain or what it feels like, or what feels like the severity of the pain, God wants you to talk to him. He wants you to bring your emotion, your disappointment, your anger, your fear. And then he wants you to take action to lament. He wants you to address him, to look to him, to express your deep sorrow and regret, to ask him to help you. And he wants you to express your trust in him. Because he's shown us that we can trust him. And as you express your sorrow, I want you guys to think of how you've seen him move in your past situations. Think of how you've seen him be faithful before. And think of how you made it through. Because remember that lament is the biblical response to Christian suffering. And it bridges the gap from sorrow to worship. So as we close today, I want to give you guys just about 2 minutes of reflection. And I want you to go before the Lord in prayer. Liam, can you go to the last slide, please? I want you guys to go to the Lord in prayer. You don't have to go through all of these questions, but just start with the first one. Whatever you get to is okay. But yeah, let's spend some time in reflection before the Lord. Take some time, look at the questions, and then I'll come back out and I'll close us out. But again, I would just ask for everyone's silence. This is just a time between us and the Lord. So let's take a minute to pray. To lament, Lord. Father, I pray that you would teach us to properly express our deep sorrow and disappointment and pain to you. God, I pray that you would teach us that it's okay to go through suffering. And in fact, you tell us we're going to in your word. But it's about what we do with the pain and the suffering, Lord. And I pray that you would teach us that only you, Father, can truly bring comfort in the midst of that. God, help us not to turn to worldly things as we go through tough times. Help us not to numb ourselves with distractions, but God, to feel those emotions and to keep the dialogue open with you, our Heavenly Father, as you desire to hear how we're feeling. You desire to hear the things that are on our heart, Lord. So help us to speak directly to you in the midst of our trials. In your mighty name we pray, Father. Amen.